Well, good evening, Riverside. This is Wednesday, and we would normally be gathering together for our devotional and Bible study service, but we will do the best that we can with a Bible study this way. And I do invite you to have a Bible there in front of you, because we're going to be looking at a particular text fairly closely this evening. But I appreciate your patience through all of this. I appreciate all your encouragement through all of this. All of the staff does. This is a challenging time for everybody, but we're very grateful for the encouragement that you have offered through all of this. I was speaking with someone the other day, and we were just talking about everything that has been going on and how this pandemic has affected everyone's life to some extent. And a lot of people are going through some very difficult times, or will be going through some very difficult times, not just health-wise, but economically. This is going to be a challenge for many people. And some people are already hurting from that. And it's, again, it's not just us, but it's all over the world. This has been such a tragedy for everyone. And they were talking about that, and they were talking about how their church is trying to maintain an online presence and a connection with members. And they were, unfortunately, this past weekend, they'd had a really difficult time. The staff where they worship was just not able to get things together, and the streaming didn't work, and just one thing after another. And they finally received an email that basically said, "We're sorry, we'll try something different next week." And so this has been a challenge for a lot of people. But also, they said something that I thought was really interesting. They said, you know, we really appreciate what the churches are trying to do and how the churches are trying to maintain a connection with all the members, and as well as trying to keep up this positive spirit. And they said, we really appreciate that, but then they said something kind of unexpected to me. They said, we really don't want to hear how things are okay, or how things are going to be okay, because right now, things are not okay. Right now, life is a little bit scary. Right now, life is a little bit uncertain. And so we're thinking, they said, we're thinking about those places in the Bible where God's people were going through some really difficult times, and they were questioning God, and they were expressing their frustration, they were expressing their anxieties to God about everything they were having to go through. And they said, right now, that's what we want to hear. We want to hear those kinds of things, because that's what's real right now. And I thought, you know, there are probably some other people who are expressing similar thoughts and asking similar questions. And so I thought it would be good for us to spend some time together looking at some of those places in the scriptures where God's people were going through hard times, and just what the people said, and how they responded, and how what was life like when they came out on the other side of their situation. And so that's what we're going to do for this evening. We want to look at some of that, and we probably continue on to the next week as well. We don't know how long this is going to go on, so we're just going to go from week to week. here. And I, at the time all of this began, Brother Clint Hyde was leading us in a study through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I'm not going to step on that. I'm not going to take his class away from him. Hopefully he can pick that study back up when we come back together. But we're going to go a little bit different direction with our study for the next couple of weeks at least. And we're going to look at some passages that we call passages of lament. And of course, there's the book of Lamentations, which the entire book is a lament. It's not that large of a book, but still a few chapters. And it's a lament concerning what's happened to God's people. But the place in the scriptures where we most frequently run into this language of lament is in the book of Psalms. In fact, over a third of the Psalms are categorized as Psalms of lament. And obviously, we're not going to look at all of those, but we want to look at a few and just see how those particular kinds of conversations benefited God's people, and see if they can be of benefit to us as well as we go through some difficult times. Somebody made the observation that when children first come into the world, when we are first born, we enter this world red-faced, screaming, crying our heart out. We don't know what's going on. We don't know where we are. We don't know what just happened. And we're letting the world know about it. And so to cry is one of the first things we learn how to do as human beings. And so crying out is a very human thing to do. But you and I are not the only part of creation that is crying out. As Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 22, he says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." And that picture of a woman in labor is such a powerful image, and it speaks so perfectly to our world and our situation. Because we live in this world, and our world is groaning. Our world is in this period of suffering because we live in a very imperfect and broken world. And the picture there that Paul uses of the woman in childbirth is perfect, because she's there and she's going through this intense period of labor, of suffering. And that's where we are today. That's where the world has always been, ever since creation. We lost paradise, right? And how is it that we lost paradise? Well, it was because of sin, right? And because of sin, the ground became cursed, and man has to work, and there's sweat, and there's toil, and there's labor, and there's danger. And there's heartache and there's suffering. And that's our world. And our world has been groaning ever since. And like that woman who is in labor, she's going through this intense period of suffering, but there is a hope that's coming. But before she can enjoy, before she can experience the joy of her hope, she has to go through this period of labor, this period of suffering. And that's where we are. We have our hope, don't we? We have our hope as Christians. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in eternity. Our hope is in the resurrection. And so we look forward to all of that. But before we get to all of that, we have to go through this period of suffering. This is the world we live in. And so our world is a tainted world because of sin. It's tainted with sin. And so our world is a world that's full of disappointment and discouragement and abuse and addiction and failed marriages and just all kinds of things, disease, viruses, death. That's our world. And so all of creation, including ourselves, are going through this period of suffering. We're groaning. We're waiting for our hope. We're looking forward to our hope, but we're not there yet. And so as long as we remain in this world, then we're going to be exposed and we're going to be vulnerable to all kinds of things. And some really good people are going to experience some horrible things because that's the world that we live in. In the biblical sense, a lament is more than just crying out. A lament is crying out to God. In its most basic sense, a lament is an expression of trust in God. It's an expression of trust in God. And that's a really important point to get. It's not just crying out, it's crying out our trust in God. And we need to make that distinction because someone might be of the might come to the conclusion that because they are experiencing this terrible suffering, because they're involved in this horrible situation, and they're not handling it well, they're not dealing with it well, they're not counting it all joy, as James writes, and that because they're not counting it all joy, maybe they think that somehow their faith has failed, or their faith is weak, or they don't have faith at all. And that would be a mistake. That's what the language of the lament does. A lament actually helps us to renew our confidence, our trust in God. That's why the lament is an expression of trust in God. One source stated, a lament is a set poetic prayer aimed to present a need to God so that he may resolve it and further his praise. I really like that. A lament is a prayer aimed to present a need to God so that he may resolve it and further his praise. When we look at the Psalms of lament, we'll notice that there are a couple of different types of laments. And I'm going to try, as I edit this video, I'm going to try to insert this listing for you, because as I said, over a third of the Psalms are laments, and they're broken out into these two different categories. There are what are called individual laments, and these laments are very personal. They typically involve only one person, and that individual is crying out to God because of their situation. They are asking God for help in that situation. And then the other type of lament is a corporate or a communal type lament. And typically those involve the nation, God's people in general, who are engaged in some sort of national calamity of some sort. And so they're individual laments and corporate or communal laments. And again, I'll try to get those inserted. If I can't figure it out, then you won't see it. If you want them, I can email them to you. Oh, and if you have questions or comments about any of this, feel free to email me those or text me those, and I'll try to address those next week. That's why we'll do that. But the lament psalms generally follow a pattern. And as you read through these different lament psalms, you'll be able to recognize all the elements of this pattern. They usually begin with an address to God. Again, it's an expression of trust in God. And so his name usually appears very early in the psalm. And sometimes there will be an introductory expression or phrase that gives us a little bit of a hint as to what's going on and what this lament is about, sometimes in the address. But then following that, there is then the author gives us the specific complaint or the specific lament about what's going on and what he's experiencing. And then following that, there is an expression or a confession of trust in God. God, I believe you are there. I know you can help. Some sort of confession of trust in God. And then there is the plea for God's help. God, please do this. Please provide this. Some sort of plea for God's help. And then the lament typically concludes with some sort of vow of praise or thanksgiving. And so we're going to see an example of this in the book of Psalms. And again, if you want to turn over to Psalm 13, the 13th Psalm is generally regarded as being a great example of this pattern of the different elements showing up in a psalm of lament. So if you want to turn over there, this is an individual lament. The heading says it is to the choir master. So this is a song that was sung. It says it is a psalm of David. And we're not exactly sure of the background of this psalm. It's been suggested perhaps that this is towards the end of that period of time when Saul was after David. And so, you know, you recall Saul wanted David dead. And so it's suggested that David wrote this psalm expressing his anxiety, his frustration, wondering how God is going to deal with this, and why hasn't God done something sooner? So let's read the 13th Psalm. It's not long, only 6 verses. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And so let's kind of pick this apart now and see where it fits into this pattern. We may never have experienced something like David is going through here, if this is what's really happening, if this is about Saul's efforts to try to kill David, we may never have been the target of someone who was actually trying to kill us, but perhaps we have been the target of someone who slandered us, who lied about us, or perhaps someone just really doesn't like us, and they take every opportunity to try to tear us down. And we see no way of extricating ourselves from that situation. We see no way of being able to vindicate ourselves. And so we're just kind of at the mercy of this individual, and it's out of our control, and no one else can help. And so that would be a very desperate situation. All we can do in that kind of a situation is cry out to God. And so we look at this psalm, and we can find the pattern pretty easily. We have the address to God. It's there at the very beginning. How long, O Lord? And so there's the name of God shows up very early. And this there's this this initial introductory hint of his petition. How long? So even though we don't know what's going on, that tells us it's been going on for some time. And David wants to know, how much longer? This has been going on, Lord, for a long time. How much longer is this going to go on? How much longer am I going to have to endure this? So we get that initial hint of what the petition is going to be. And then, sure enough, that introductory expression gets enlarged, doesn't it, by the repetitive, how long, how long, how long. He says there, how long will you forget me forever? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? And so here's his specific complaint. And what is it? He feels abandoned. He feels like God is not listening, like God is not answering his prayers. He's obviously been praying, but nothing has changed. Saul is still after him. His life is still in danger. There's still nothing that David can do personally. So God, how long are you going to allow this? How long is this going to go on? He feels completely alone in this situation. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like your prayers were just bouncing off the ceiling? And nobody was listening. God was not answering. You know, we've been in this virus situation now. Has it been a month? Seems like a month. Maybe just 3 weeks. And I know we've been praying. People all over the world have been praying. People are still getting sick. Death toll is still climbing. God, how long is this going to go on? When are you going to intervene? When are you going to bring control to this chaos? How long? This is what the psalmist, this is what David is feeling. And this is where faith needs to step up. And it does for David. Faith needs to overrule our feelings. The psalmist was expressing his feelings as it's found in the phrase, he's experiencing sorrow in his heart. That's his feelings. He's feeling sorrow. He's feeling abandonment. He's feeling betrayal. And maybe we can feel that same way at times if someone betrays us. But our feelings can mislead us, can't they? And so this is where our faith needs to step up, and it needs to overrule our feelings. And so then we hear the confession of trust. The psalmist says, consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. See, you hear the personal nature of this. My God. Consider and answer me. And so even though he's feeling as though his prayers are not getting out of the building, he's still praying. God, when are you going to answer me? Answer me. He's still praying. His faith is trumping his feelings. And then we have the specific petition to God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Now you think about that expression for a moment. Light up my eyes. What do you think he means by that? It's a question you're supposed to answer. The Apostle Paul used a similar expression in his letter to the Ephesians when he prayed for them. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. What was Paul praying for? He was praying that their eyes may be enlightened. Lighten my eyes, the psalmist said. What was Paul praying for? He was praying that they would have understanding, right? That they would have knowledge. That they would have revelation. And that's what the psalmist is asking for. That's what he's asking God to do. Give me understanding. Help me see. Open my eyes. We use that same language, don't we? Something's happening. We don't get it. We don't understand. We don't see the reason. We don't see the justification. I don't see why this is happening. We use the same language. And so he's asking God, help me see. Don't we have a song, Open My Eyes, right? Help me understand. And then there's this concluding expression of trust and thanksgiving. He says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. Steadfast, faithful. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Now, the word salvation there is not talking about our eternal salvation. A better word perhaps would be deliverance. My heart shall rejoice in your deliverance. And so the psalmist is expressing trust here. God is going to make this right. He's going to bring David out of this. He's going to bring deliverance here. And he says, I'm going to rejoice. And his rejoicing is going to find a voice. He says, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. That's interesting. We come to the end of the psalm. David's situation is not resolved yet. It sounds like it is because of David's faith and trust. Remember, that's what the lament is. And it's an expression of trust in God. And that's what David is doing. He's questioning, how long? But God, I know you're going to make this right. I know I will experience your deliverance. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to sing because of it. But at the end of the psalm, we don't see the resolution. We don't see God's work yet as this psalm comes to a close. But he doesn't allow his feelings to overrule his faith. Just the opposite occurs. His faith overrules his feelings, and he continues to pray. He continues to trust. He continues to be thankful because of the faithfulness of God. Crying out is something that all humans do. But as believers, as Christians, we can engage in the lament because we know God. And because we know God, we know of his sovereignty. And because of his sovereignty, we know that he will make all things as they should be. We know God's promises. And we know of God's power to deliver us from whatever the situation is. And so even with the knowledge of all of that, we still live in this world, don't we? We still live in a world of sorrow and suffering. We are that woman who is in labor, and we are groaning and we are crying out because of what we are going through. But we look forward to the hope of eternity. Laments are an expression of trust in God. And through the lament, we are asking God to come into this situation and to help us in this situation, to deliver us from from this. Give us strength, whatever our petition might be. The suffering that goes on in this world may tempt us to turn away from God. And for some people, that's exactly what they do. But the language of lament enables us to turn to God, even in the midst of all of whatever we are going through. We can still turn to God and express not only our frustration, but also our trust that He is going to deliver us from all of this. And so the lament gives us a proper lens. It gives us a biblical lens to see all of what God is doing. And we're able to see the overarching plan of God through creation and then through the fall because of sin, to our redemption and to our restoration, and finally to the ending of all laments. As John described there in the Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 4, John wrote, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." All the laments, there'll be no reason for lamenting, because we will finally enjoy our hope, and all those things will be gone. I hope this encourages you. This might be a good time for an experiment this week. Sometime this week, after you have read some of these Psalms, you might take a few moments and write your own lament. Make it about this current situation. And feel free to borrow some of the phrases from the Psalms. And don't make it long, just three or four verses. Psalm 13 was only six. So three or four verses, and just write your own lament. You can use some of the Psalms phrases, but try to come up with some of your own as well. How would you express it? How would you express your petition to God? What would you ask God to do in this situation? And then how would you conclude it with your trust and your thanksgiving to God? What would you say? How would you phrase it? Write your own lament. And then, if you're brave enough, email it to me. And I'll read it next week. And I'll keep it anonymous if you want me to. I won't say your name if you don't want me to. That's fine. But I think it would be interesting if we would write our own lament, and just to see what that sounds like and how similar it might sound to some of the things that we read in the Psalms. Until Jesus returns, we live in this world. And it's going to continue to be a world full of discouraging times and despairing times. Children will continue to be born, and when they are born, they are going to be screaming and crying at the top of their lungs. Maybe it's because they already know something. Grace and peace to all of you this night.